Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host of the show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 10 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment career advice on internet radio. And this is the show to listen to if you are currently pursuing or dreaming about a career in the entertainment industry. The guests on this show are going to help you by providing tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to pursue a successful career in a wide variety of show business professions. There are so many out there. The guests on our show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, film and music producers, film and television directors, theater directors, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, actors, singers, songwriters, comedians, script supervisors, stunt people, entertainment lawyers. It's endless, just endless what we have on the show. And if you missed any of our shows, please go to our archive page, which is on the LA Talk Radio website, latalkradio.com, and search for our show title, which is Question Reality, or search by my name, Priscilla Leona, and you will find 10 years of shows with all different kinds of professions for you to get tips and advice from. Now, all of the shows, all of the Question Reality shows are also available for free on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And please make sure that you get our free mobile app, which is on the homepage of the LA Talk Radio website. So latalkradio.com, and it's located on the right-hand side towards the bottom. You just have to scroll a little bit. And finally, if you want to be a guest on the show or refer someone to promote or showcase themselves, their products, or just genuinely help listeners with sage career advice, we are currently booking through December, but you have to go to our official website, and the official website is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, and then you click on the contact link, and that way you can submit for interview consideration. Now, we have an exciting show for you, like we do every week, just nonstop excitement, thrills, and chills happening on this show. I wanted to tell you how excited I was when I found out that this guest was going to be booked on the show, because I was a huge fan of his dad's music. I'm really, as everybody knows who's been listening to my show for 10 years, you know I don't like any music beyond 1990. Well, actually, I got to take that back, because I have recently become obsessed with, of course, Too Late. I don't know why I didn't know about these boys, but it's a boy band. Well, they're gone now, but they're called One Direction. And I just discovered them last year, and they formed in 2010, and they broke up in 2015 or 16. And I just discovered them last year, and I'm just so upset at myself, because I can't tell you how excited I am about this band. I love it. I purchased just about every single song from all of their albums. They're fantastic, especially Harry Styles, which I am super obsessed. I have like a creepy obsession, a perverted, creepy obsession with Harry Styles. And my husband's like, oh no, not another Harry Styles song. Every day, all day, it's Harry Styles. Well, One Direction. We'll say One Direction, because I only like Sign of the Times. I mean, I love him, but I don't like Sign of the Times off of his new album. I hope he never hears that. He is going to be in LA at the LA Forum performing this Friday and Saturday night. And unfortunately, I could not get a ticket because by the time I discovered them, the tickets were sold out. So, woe is me. So, back to our guest today. He is R&B singer-songwriter Clayton Morgan. And Clayton is the son of Eddie Daniels, member of the legendary Detroit 60s soul group, the Four Sonics. Now, I know you know who the Four Sonics are. Come on now. Now, one of the songs that they did, which is immediately you're going to know this, but it was made famous, I think, by Dusty Springfield. I think, honestly, that is the most well-known version. But I believe, and we'll have to check with Clayton, but I believe his dad and their group, the Four Sonics, maybe did it before her. But I don't quote me on that. I'm not a music aficionado, but I do remember them singing it, and I remember liking it just as much as I did the Dusty Springfield version. So Clayton is following in his dad's footsteps with his single release, which is called Taste for Love, and we will be playing Taste for Love at the end of the show. We're going to close the show out with this song, and let me just tell you, he is good. Let me go to his website and check him out first. We're going to have him come on in a couple seconds. Go to his website, claytonmorgan.com, claytonmorgan.com, and subscribe to his Facebook page, his Twitter page, his Instagram page, his YouTube page, do all that stuff. And we are going to talk to Clayton in a couple seconds. But first, I want to tell you in just like moments, I don't know where, I wish I would have paid more attention to what time this show is going to start, but I really want you to help support my friend Erin Martin. She is the producer and host of Pink Shade with Erin Martin and Reality Tea, which is an entertainment website that recaps all of the reality TV shows. And everybody knows I'm obsessed with reality television. This is why I first discovered Erin Martin. She is one of the funniest people I have. I tell you, I'm not a hearty laugher. I'm a chuckler. You may get a chuckle out of me here and there if you're funny. But if you are mega, super, ultimate funny, you are going to get a hearty laugh. Rarely, but it'll come. And I got to tell you, this lady, Erin Martin, every time I read her column for the 90 Day Fiancé reality show on Reality Tea, oh, I just have to get a tissue. I just know she's going to just tear me up, crack me up. I need you to help her by tuning in to the TLC channel tonight for an explosive 1 hour 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After episode. And again, check your local channels because I do not know what time it's going to be on in your area, but it's going to be followed. Here's where Erin Martin comes in. It's going to be followed by the very first ever 90 Day Fiancé live after show. And that is featuring 90 Day Fiancé alum and super fans. And that's where we are going to see our girl Erin Martin throw down some 90 Day Fiancé super fan knowledge. So please help her by providing likes and comments and share her pages. So please help us out. Now, without further ado, let's get down to it. We are welcoming by the way, this is a very, very handsome gentleman, girls. I would highly recommend if you haven't gone to his website, you go to it now so you can see this handsome man. Takes after his father, obviously. Without further ado, welcome Clayton Morgan.
Hi, Priscilla. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. It is such an honor to have the son of such a legend on my show.
Well, thank you so much. That's a wonderful compliment. Thank you for having me.
Well, I thank you. Now, I want to also say congratulations on your single, which is Taste for Love. I love that song. When I listen to it, and I'm sure that other people who listen to it as well, hopefully you'll go there after the show, not during the show, and get distracted, people, after the show, I was transported back to the sound of the 60s and 70s when they had those super smooth love songs, you know, the ones that you can really groove to. I mean, like the inception of what a love song should be, like something that's going to move you, like move the earth. I love this song. I know you sang it, but did you write this song as well?
Yes, I did. I wrote all the lyrics for the song.
Wow. Oh, really good lyrics. I tell you, I was like, whoo, there's this one part in there I would love. We're going to talk about it right before we play the song. But is this the first song that you've written and recorded? I wasn't sure.
No, actually, I've written and recorded other songs. This is actually the most recent release. I did release a song last year, but this is like kind of a new direction, a different path that I'm taking here on this release. So, yeah, here we are.
So this song called Taste for Love, how is this song different than your prior music? I mean, obviously singer-songwriters write from experiences, whether it's love or hate or this or that or whatever their inspiration comes from. What was your inspiration for writing this song, and how is it different from the prior songs that you've written?
Okay, well, the difference in this song from the prior song that was released last year is the prior song that I released is a cover of Moon Dance by Van Morrison. But I took a spin on that particular song. That cover, I did a cover song, and the spin was to make it EDM, so it was electronic. So that right there is totally different than from what Taste for Love is. Taste for Love is definitely R&B, smooth, laid back, chilled, like type vibe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're both definitely two different genres, two totally completely different styles of music.
So would you consider yourself exclusively an R&B musical artist, or do you not, you know, put yourself in that niche? You do all different types of music.
I like to do all different types of music. I mean, I know that it probably would be categorized as R&B, but I'm definitely open to doing all different types of music because I love all different types of music. Now, the inspiration, just to answer the other part of your question about where the inspiration comes from, the right Taste for Love, this song, really the inspiration came from the track. When I heard the track, I have different experiences with writing lyrics. Lyrically, it was just the track was just speaking to me when I heard it. So the words just started popping into my head and I wrote them down. And then next thing, you know, I had the hook. And then next thing I had the verses in the bridge part of the song. And also I'm kind of thinking of like Prince for some reason,
mm-hmm.
like I
mm-hmm.
could just see him on stage, like kind of mouth, you know, kind of like talking and being real like suave with it,
mm-hmm.
you know,
I know.
On stage
I
with
love-
it.
I love that one lyric in there that says, got me feeling like I need some kind of magic in a perfect twist. That's my favorite line
yeah.
in the song. Where did you come up with
yeah.
that? Where did you come up with that? That is so good.
It just came to me. It really did. It just came to me. And it's kind of like some of it's a play on words. And I was like, yeah. That sounds pretty good. I like that. You know, they all just all flow together.
the best lyric that sang to me. That was it. I said, oh, I love that. Now, a lot of people who are not musicians, they ask me, like, I know I'm not a musician, but I guess they figure since I've had dozens of musicians on the show, they seem to ask me for advice. But I turn around and I always ask a musician to give this to the audience for aspiring new songwriters. When you're writing a song, because I get asked the question, how do you write a song? Now, I'm not an expert, but I know there are verses. I know there's a hook. I know there's usually a second verse, and then I know there's a bridge. How, if you had to give advice on aspiring songwriters, how do you break a song down to write it? Do you think of the hook first? Do you think of the bridge first? Does it vary for everyone?
It definitely varies. Nobody, you know, I think, like, for me, just speaking for myself, the lyrics can come. I mean, there's no specific style that you have to write in as far as, like, okay, you have to have a first verse or you have to have a bridge. I mean, certain songs, like, I guess, because I've looked at books on songwriting before, and they songwriting usually takes on a specific song structure when you write, and that would be like, okay, yes, we have the first verse, then we got the hook, then we got the second verse, and then we got a bridge, or we might even have a third verse, just depending on the song, you know, and that type of thing. But, you know, I've heard a lot of different songs that are cool that they don't necessarily follow that same song structure, you know. It just depends on the song. It depends on how that song was arranged to where you make it what you make it. And it's creative that way. So definitely you don't have to be in a box and say, it has to be this specific way. It might work better certain ways, just depending on how you start off. I mean, do you have a track first? Are you working to a track? Or are you just writing the lyrics down on paper first and you don't have an arrangement, you know, figured out yet?
Here's something interesting, Clayton. I was wondering if you could help me with. Going back to One Direction. This is an example because I don't understand it. Obviously, One Direction, it's a boy band. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're a boy band. They're beautiful boys. Obviously, the first thing that's going to attract an audience, because they're, you know, they're very attractive, but they can sing. Like, OMG, right. They can sing beautifully, right? Okay, so you got the looks, you got obviously they can sing, and they've got that modern style, that boy band modern style of singing, because you know they're different decades, you go through the certain sounds. And so here's the thing I want to ask you. When they were One Direction as a band, every song was practically a hit. And let me tell you, I'm picky about my music. I really am. I don't, just because, you know, they're a beautiful boy band. If I don't like a song, I don't like it. So just about every single song when they were with One Direction, it was a hit. So flash forward, the band's over. They go out independently to record songs. And I'm going to be honest, with the exception of one song that Harry Styles did, which was The Sign of the Times. And let me tell you, I would throw myself in front of a bus, you know, to save Harry Styles. That's how much I love him. But I always, always give credit where credit's due. Honestly, he's on tour. He's been on tour. I listened to the album. Do not like one song on that album. Doesn't have any kind of, and you know, it might be, I think, you know, Clayton, is it because I like the boy band sound? No, because they did songs on there which they sounded like independent artists. And then I'm thinking, why? None of them, in my personal opinion, this is not the opinion of anyone else other than me, but I do not feel that any of those songs, not one of them, has even had the remote success that they had with when they were with, you know, as One Direction. And some of the, I'm not going to point out who said it, but one of the band members said that he was upset because every time they kept promising they were going to let them write their own songs, and then they would let them write them, and then they would turn around, and then by the time they'd ready to record them, they were completely different songs. Now, that to me says, yeah, because if you're investing all this money in a band, you're going to have professional songwriters write these songs. These are boys from a small town in northern England. What do they know about writing songs? So I have come to respect songwriters so much when they can, even one-hit wonders, I call them that because those are songs that are going to be played till the end of time. There is a structure to writing music, and you better know it if you want a hit. Even if you just have one song and that's the only song you ever do, I'd rather be a one-hit wonder than I never was, and even if I get one song. So there's got to be some kind of formula that these writers had when they were writing for One Direction. Now the boys are out on their own. They're in charge. They are so rich that they can afford to just say, I'm going to write a song, and they go out on tour. It's like they can do that now. But that doesn't mean that any of the songs are catchy or familiar or hits or anything. And I'm sad about it because I've listened to every one of them, and I want to love them. I want it to be just as good as One Direction. And in my opinion, I just don't. I don't like any of them, and I don't think that any of them will ever remotely stand the test of time, sadly. So what do you have to say about that? There's got to be a structure.
There is song structure, but at the same time, there are a lot of people that have good songs, and One Direction is, you know, just my opinion. But One Direction is signed to like a major label. They have this major, the group itself before they split up.
Yeah.
Had this major promotion pushing behind them.
Right.
And just like, I mean, we all know how that kind of thing is work. You know, you know people, they know people in the industry. They push those records. And you know, they get.
But they were good though, Clayton. They were good. If you listen to their stuff now independently, they're. A couple of them are on tour. They are not even remotely, Clayton, in the same category of being good. I'm not talking about them as, you know, a beautiful little boy band group. I'm talking the songs like You and I and some of the other ones that they did. I mean, these are songs that will bring tears to your eyes, and they are beautiful, beautiful songs. And when you go, so my point is that just because you're with a boy band and then you go off solo doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to have a hit. There is some sort of a structure, I would think, or a hook to writing a song, I think.
Also, there's that it factor because, I mean, you got people like Beyonce that left Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
You got people like Justin Timberlake that left NSYNC. That were in groups. There are people that have left groups that still are still today doing what they've done. Everybody can't do that. Everybody can't do that.
So that's the question is, what the heck is the secret? Because not everybody, like you said, can do that. You got Zayn Malik from One Direction who just covered Beyonce's song from 2001. And he's using it on his new album that he's dropping in September. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Why would you do that? Here's your opportunity to write original stuff. Why would you be covering other people's music? So I'll never really understand it. But I guess I wanted to know, in your personal opinion, do you think that you should study some sort of songwriting structure before you write your first song? Or do you think you should just get out there and start, you know, writing, and it's kind of a hit or miss situation?
You know, I think everybody wants to write a good song. I don't think anybody sets out to write a song that's, you know, crappy.
Well, you'd be surprised how many people write crappy songs and they think they're the best things ever. I mean, look at American Idol. You have people go on there, and in their hearts, minds, and souls, they believe they are the best singer in the world. I don't know if you've ever watched shows like that, but they really believe it, and you will never tell them that they can't sing. And that's the same with some, you know, singer-songwriters. They write songs, and you'll never tell them that the songs are not going to be hits. And it's very very interesting how people end up. Either you end up being a huge star and successful, or you may have the best song and it's never been discovered. You never know. I don't know what the secret is. I would never be able to give advice.
There's really no secret. No secret, because they're you know, it's, you know, like they say, I guess, you know, music is, I guess they say, can be a fickle type business. There's no particular, you know, you can get people behind you and push you and that type of thing. And there are definitely steps.
Yeah.
And if you can
and
get but the right people behind you to make certain things happen. But
even
with that, I don't necessarily mean that the public has to embrace you still.
True.
So that's how you really become the star or the superstar,
really,
even with all that pushing, because if the public doesn't embrace you after they spent all that money on trying to push you out there, then what's going to happen? You're going to lose that record.
I know. All right. So obviously you're the son of, so to conclude that conversation, people, I would say just write it and then go out there and perform it, I guess, maybe at various venues, maybe some local clubs that let you play there, local, you know, bars. Just see if you can get an audience, and then social media promotion, and just try to build your fan base.
If you want to have your song tested out, you can always, there are different sites you can go to where you can have someone review it, or like a professional. You may have to pay for that service, but
what?
There
you
are resources
the
out there.
Do you know any off the top of your head?
I mean, you can sign up with Reverb Nation. They critique and review.
Oh, I didn't
so
know that.
If anybody wanted to do that, could sign up with Reverb Nation. And
And
I knew another one, but it's not, I can't think of it right now. I know Reverb Nation, they do critique music, and you can get someone to look at it there.
Do you have to
That's
pay
one
for
resource.
That? What do you
yeah,
sign
you most
up
likely to do. Usually they don't, you don't, yeah, usually they don't review for free. So yeah, you might have to spend something.
But if you're going to pay your money, then do you get to ask them, what are your credentials? Because, you know, if they have like the owner's mother critiquing the song, I'm not going to pay you my hard earned money. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Right.
So do they provide, they say, okay, this person's going to be reviewing your song. They have had 4 Grammys or whatever they say. Does it work like that?
I've never actually had them review any of my material.
But they
I just know.
Do it. Okay.
I know that they do it. That's something that they offer. And I wish I could remember the other site, because what you're asking as far as like the credentials, they do say what their background is and that type of thing. So I honestly don't know.
All right. Well, if you think of it, let me know,
and I'll
yeah, and then I'll let people know. Okay. So you're the son of Eddie Daniels, member of the legendary Detroit Soul 60s group, the Four Sonics. Now that must have been such an exciting time for R&B music. And I bet you have heard all kinds of fun and interesting stories. So I was wondering if you could share like one of the funniest or most interesting stories that your dad told you about or that you heard, something that we wouldn't, you know about as a general audience.
Okay. Well, actually, when I came along, the group had already broken up as far as like when I was born, because they were
See,
in the late
60s. Just like One Direction. You're just like me by the time they broke up, by the time I entered the picture. Right. Go ahead.
But he just talked about the different places that they performed at. I mean, they performed at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, New York. And then also, I guess, the women, you know.
I mean,
he was married to my mom. After he left the group, he married my mom. You know, I was born. But, I mean, you know, he just, like, you know, a good-looking guy. And, you know, the women just flocked. And he was like, wow. He said, I have all this to choose from.
Too much. You're going to get in trouble.
I remember that. I do remember that story. He was kind of like, yeah, I'm a star.
A
you know, well, I got this star thing going on.
How did your mom lock him down? How did did she lock that down? She must be a beautiful woman with a lot of intelligence. And she was able to are they still married or?
No, actually, my father, he passed away 10 years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he did. That's okay.
Well, did he regale you with lots of stories and say, son, let me tell you about the time when this woman threw her panties on stage or, you know, something like that. Or maybe us left them. There's all kinds of
stories. He said he used to hang out with Gladys Knight back in the day. She's from Georgia, but I guess she had family in Detroit. Mm-hmm. So she would come up to Detroit in summertime, and he told me that they used to hang out.
Mm-hmm. Getting into some trouble up in Detroit. Having some good old time singing. I bet you they had lots of jam sessions and lots of stories that they swapped back then. My goodness.
Yeah, even after the group broke up, he still was singing, and he still was singing with other guys and trying to form groups. He never stopped. I mean, when he went on a cruise, he actually won another cruise by going up there and doing the open mic thing on the cruise ship. And he won it. I guess other people were there. He won a free cruise.
Wow. So he must have hung out with not only Gladys Knight, but they probably schmoozed with all the, you know, Quincy Jones and Sammy Davis Jr. And, you know, they all hung out, all the musicians hung out and did their little musician things, jamming together and stuff. So he probably
back in the day, when Motown was really in its, I guess,
Motown was mowing down, and
Motown was still in Detroit at the time. So before they moved, they headquartered in California. Before they were still headquartered in Detroit at that time. So, I mean, all of the Temptations, the Supremes, and all of that history there.
So I know that they. What I remember the Four Sonics for was. You Don't Have to Say You Love Me. Now, I know that Dusty Springfield originally sang it in 66, but did they cover that after? Because I know that was one of their more famous songs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was actually covered. They covered it after her.
Yeah. And did they have more hits that you can tell us about?
You Don't Have to Say You Love Me, I think, was their signature, their signature song.
Yeah, so everybody go on YouTube, and it's on YouTube. I just re-listened to it again because I loved it so much. I love that song sung with just about anyone. I don't know who could sing that except an American Idol bad contestant that I wouldn't like it. So it's pretty infallible, you know. So go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say that there is another song called It Takes Two that they recorded that my dad actually sings lead on, and that that song is out there on YouTube as well, It Takes Two.
But it's not the one, It Takes Two to Make Things Go Right. Not that one.
Before Rob Bass. Way before Rob Bass, yeah.
Okay, you knew that right off.
I remember that song. That was a jam back in the day.
Oh, I know that. I loved him, and I loved Salt and Pepper. Now, obviously, you really admired what your father accomplished with the Four Sonics and the impact that the iconic soul foursome had on the world, obviously, for that genre of music. And for those that aren't familiar with that particular genre of music or how the transition has gone from that sound to now, what do you think about music overall in the direction that it's gone? Do you think it's progressed in a good way, a bad way? Is it different? You know, what is your overall viewpoint on the evolution of music as far as R&B? and soul, maybe?
I would like, I like to hear more R&B, and I love, I still love like the different, the hip hop, the trap, and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like we need to still get a little bit more singing and love songs out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like it's a balance. We need to get a better balance for that.
I don't even know. I don't know what's going on with the music. I, like I said, I, the most recent thing I've listened to is One Direction. They're pretty much love song, love song, love song. But I mean, I don't even know what happened to the guitar. It's like that. There isn't even guitar in, you know, music hardly these days. And I just discovered a. I don't even know what to call this, because this is the new thing that's out, Clayton. It is now in music, they have a singer and a DJ, and that's the band. And I just discovered this. I'm like, what is going on? On the Graham Norton show, there was a singer. Her name is Dua Lipa. And I listened to the song. I'm like, what? So, without further ado, and I thought, okay, she's singing with a band. It's her and a DJ, and that is the new thing. You got a guy who's on the keyboard, but then all of a sudden it sounds like it's a full band, and then you have a singer. And now more and more it's just a singer and a DJ, and they're going on tour. And that is, they have cut practically every single instrument out, but yet I don't know how they're getting that full band sound. Any kind of knowledge on that? What's happening with that?
I just think that it's just, I mean, DJing has always been, has never gone out of style, for one. It's just now, I think, people are just using it more now to sing, and which is okay. I mean, you know, like I said, DJ has been around forever, where DJs spin at parties, at clubs, that type of thing. So that's not new, and it's been popular in hip-hop for a long time. But as far as like singers go, was this, I don't know what type of person or what kind of music is it the young lady that was with, she was singing DJing?
Her name is Dua Lipa, and she's an Indian singer, but I mean, she's got a very similar sound to Adele. I mean, but she's, you know, but it's just her and this guy. Oh, I think his name might be Calvin. Gosh, off the top of my voice, I really should. I wasn't planning on talking about that, so I don't remember. But it's just she and this DJ guy, and they're on tour, and it's just her and the guy, and he's behind some sort of a keyboard. Ooh. And Calvin Harris is his name, and their hit song is One Kiss, and it's all over the place. It's what all the new Gen Z, that's the new Gen Z song. It's a really good song. I bought it, downloaded it to my playlist, but it's just she and this DJ, and they're on tour, and that's the new thing. And then I see, you know, another band, and then I can't call them band. I don't even know what to call it. It's not a band per se. It's a singer and a DJ. I don't know what to call her. I don't know. I don't understand it. But when I find out, I'll let everybody know. I don't know what it is. But that is the sound that's going on, and you don't even hear any guitar. And it's like it's a love song. It's a pop love song, but it's more like pop dance, hip-hop.
Okay.
Because they always have
Calvin. So you said his name is Calvin Harris. Calvin Harris is... Now, the name sounds familiar. I don't always, I'll be honest with you, I'm not always up on who the top 40 people are.
Yeah.
But I know like a lot of these.
He's like a hip hop dance DJ kind of guy.
But yeah, but I know a lot of people are collaborating with DJs, like DJ Khaled. I know who DJ Khaled is.
Right.
And a lot of people collaborate with him. So it's a popular trend as far as.
That's the thing now.
Getting with DJs and making music together.
I would actually recommend that.
Rap artist.
You know what, though, Clayton? Now that you say that, I actually think that is the way to go, because for young people, because you don't have to have a full band, because you know when there's a band, there is always some crazy ass shit going on with the band members. They get in fist fights. This is this one sleeping with this one. This, I mean, you know, there is always crazy stuff going on. So I think it's pretty safe if you just choose a DJ and it's just you. So maybe that is the way to go. Maybe that is the new way to do it, to cut down on so many things, more control over your music and funds and recording and stuff. Okay, so real quick, obviously growing up, you said in your bio that you often envisioned following in your father's footsteps. And did you talk to your dad about eventually you wanted to become a musical artist? And if so, how did he feel about you doing that? And what's the best advice he gave you about pursuing a career in music?
He knew that I wanted to pursue it. When I was younger, I would say 13, 14, that is when I first started writing lyrics, at 13, 14 years old. And I was in the studio at like 14 years old recording music. I let it get away from me at that time, though, as far as, I guess I just wasn't just trying to grow up, and it just wasn't the time for me to do it. But it was always something that I wanted to do, even from, I was in, like, before that, from like grade school all the way up throughout high school, I was always in like either choir or some kind of plays, drama, all that type of stuff. So, but he said, you know, he told me, he said that he thought that maybe, you know, they didn't, because they had bad management, that they weren't able to achieve the level of success or even really stay together as a group to continue on as a group to possibly, you know, become like the Temptations or the Four Tops or the Spinners or somebody, you know? So he was just like, well, maybe, you know, I didn't make it, maybe you will, or something like that. I remember him saying something like that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, he would just talk about, like, in his day, back in the 60s, record companies used to groom artists. So there was A&R. They would teach you different things. It was like going into like development. So how to interact
walk,
with
how to talk, media, how to press,
exactly, with media, yeah, training, and how to look on camera, how to do this, how to do that, and really entertain, be an entertainer, show you how to do those things. And now they don't do that. So now it's like you have to, either you have it, you got to come, you got to be already prepared, ready to go.
You got to learn all of that on your own, and then they'll think about taking you on. So, and it's
exactly.
A business. It is show business. It's the music business. So don't think you can get out there and, you know, write a song and go sing it, and then if you write it, they will come, because that's not how it works. So you really got to work
hard.
That is
not how it works.
And you got to absolutely think of, treat this as a business. You are the sales department. You are the administration. You are networking. You're marketing. You're brand and research. Everything that goes on in a business, you are all that unto yourself. So you better learn how to do it. So I highly recommend that you take some business classes, especially accounting, to manage your money if you do get anywhere. All right. So what are three things that you wish... or if your dad told you this, whatever you want to use, three things that you or your dad wish that they had been told before they became a recording, before you or your dad became a recording artist. So,
what are three things I wish I was told before that?
Yeah. Like you just say, "Well, I'm going to be a recording artist," and then you go, "Damn, I wish I would have known that. Darn, I wish I would have known that. Oh, if I only knew that."
I guess the number one thing would be to just really just take everything in stride. Don't get disappointed about things. There will be a lot of disappointments, but hopefully you know, there'll be successful things that happen as well. And don't give up.
I mean, are you finally, now that obviously you're signed with, I would imagine you're signed with Michael Stover at MTS Management, is this where you have, is this your first time signing or being signed by someone, and you finally have decided, you know what, I'm going to give it 150%. I'm signing up with this person, and I'm really taking it to the next level. Have you committed?
It is. I have. And the thing is this time around, I want to do it different. Like I was telling you about the Moondance cover that I did earlier. I really didn't put too much effort into like trying to promote that and push it. And I tried to do some things myself. And you need people that can help you succeed and that can do things in this business, because I mean, you can't do it all by yourself. No person that's done anything in this business, Beyonce, Justin Timberlake, no, they can't do it by themselves. They're not who they are because they got there by themselves. So
right. I mean, having a digital social media footprint, having a digital people, let me tell you, having a digital social media footprint is absolutely vital in promoting and maintaining and advancing your career in any field, not just music. So you really, if you can't do it, if you don't possess the interest or the skills or whatever you don't possess, go find someone who does
somebody
have
that can do
interest.
It.
That's right. Because I'm telling you now, social media promoting is a full-time job. I mean, if you don't have anyone and you can't afford anyone, then start out small. Once a week posting or whenever you have upcoming gigs. But eventually you do have to hire someone to do that. I mean, maybe you got like a mom or a sister or a best friend or a boo, and you go, hey, can you do my social media?
Right.
But you definitely have to do it for sure. Okay, so I wanted to tell you thank you so much for coming on the show. We got so much great advice from you. We are now going to play your song, Taste for Love. Again, we talked about it briefly, but I can't wait to hear that favorite part, which has got me feeling like I need some. I've actually turned it into a rap song. Got me feeling like I need some kind of magic.
Look,
and a perfect pitch.
Wait a minute, Priscilla, you had a little flow going there.
I know!
You got a flow.
I know! I was about to break out into salt, pepper, yo, baby.
Right.
I mean, I just get carried away sometimes. I really do. But so we're going to hear your song, Taste for Love, and we are going to wish you all of the luck. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Priscilla. Thank you for having me on.
Now, make sure you say goodbye to your fans.
Thank you, everybody that supports me. And you can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Under Clayton Morgan. Okay.
And my website, ClaytonMorgan.com.
ClaytonMorgan.com. Thank you, Mr. Clayton. Without further ado, let's hear Taste for Love.
In the morning, in the evening, in the late, I got to have your love.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.